This air review is brought to you by Verizon. When the Navy and the Marine Corps look to securely and effectively modernize their voice communications, Verizon's suite of services, solutions, and contract vehicles are there to help meet mission needs.
Hello, everyone, from National Harbor. I'm Ross John Fortuna here at Sea Airspace 2024. Joining me now is Rear Admiral Jay Van, Coast Guard Cyber Commander.
You got it.
Welcome.
Thanks.
So, the White House executive order on port cybersecurity. As I have said on these airs many times, everything is the computer, so obviously ports are doing things connected. And what kind of threats, to that end, are facing ports when it comes to cybersecurity and connectedness?
So as you kind of alluded to there, Ross, you know, yes, ports are doing things in a connected way, leveraging automation, absolutely being connected for reasons of communication, monitoring, and even control of systems, you name it, in every way. And so not just the fact that ports are connected and they're using technology, but they're lucrative targets, be it for actors that are out for financial gain, or as you might imagine, for nation-state or nation-state-affiliated actors that want to have some sort of a strategic impact on the U.S., right? A port is a node in our system that is can be particularly vulnerable and could have kind of far-reaching effects on our ability to project power or for our economy to operate, you know, at where it needs to be. Those are kind of the threats, and you can draw out of that who are those nation states. You can draw out of that the financial actors that, you know, think ransomware actors that are out to make a buck, and those are the kinds of threats. They're doing it via all the same attack vectors or threat vectors that we see in other sectors. But again, I guess my message is that ports are really a critical part, a critical engine of our economy, and a critical node in our supply chain and in our ability to project military power.
Well, to that end, the global supply chain, we've had over the last few years disruptions from the boat in the Suez to obviously COVID-19. What would a cybersecurity incident look like? How would that impact everybody? Why is it so important?
Yeah, so I think it looks a lot like these instances that we've seen, whether it's the ship that blocked the Suez Canal for a while, or whether it's the motor vessel Dolly in Baltimore right now that's, you know, under the Francis Scott Key Bridge. Now, in neither of those cases are there any indication that there was a cyber attack that caused the effects, but you can certainly make the leap that those type of effects could cause that type of a impact in the physical domain. And then the ripple effects on supply chains. And again, I made the point earlier about our ability to project military power. When there is military power in a port and you block that port, you now can have a military effect. And so that's the tie-in. Those examples are exactly, I think, what it would look like if we were to have a cyber attack that caused some of the same effects.
I got to ask the specifics. Are we talking about the usual suspects here, Iran, China, things like that?
All of those actors, definitely the key nation state adversaries, and then as mentioned before, you know, kind of lone actors who are either state sponsored or state supporting, or maybe in it for some other reason, for some sort of a financial gain, or are activists that are trying to make an impact through a cyber attack.
Sure, messing up the system, such as it were, that kind of thing. The executive order also has U.S. Coast Guard proposed rules in it. How does that empower your office, and how does it empower the Coast Guard to defend against cyber threats?
All right, so sure, to get to the executive order and talk about that a little bit, and then the rules you mentioned. So the executive order itself is actually an addendum to existing law, the Magnuson Act, which gives the Coast Guard captain of the port the authority to direct activities in the port for the safety and security of the port. And what this addendum did, what this executive order did, is say, okay, where before U.S. Coast Guard captain of the port, or before you could control or impose restrictions on activities of vessels or facilities in order to maintain safety and security in the port, let's say from terrorist attack or from some sort of a natural, like a storm, or some other environmental oil spill, these types of events. Now, it can be those authorities can be exercised for reasons of cyber threats or cyber attacks. And then the EO also goes into reporting requirements so that Coast Guard knows, you know, what those threats and what incidents may have occurred in order to be able to then exercise a response. Now, I'm talking about that captain of the port, and I'm talking about controlling, you know, vessels and facilities in a port. But that might mean secure your network from that threat before we allow you to operate your facility or your ship. And so that's where a unit with the expertise like CG Cyber might come in if we were needed to validate that a partner in a port, a company, or a municipal port authority has in fact done the things to secure their network that are required to then get them operating safely and securely. And we can come in and provide that validation. Next thing was the notice of proposed rulemaking that you brought up. So simultaneous to the release of the executive order, the Coast Guard released draft cybersecurity regulations through a notice of proposed rulemaking. And the way that system works is we essentially notify the industry that there are draft regulations, that we are considering writing regulations. We put a draft out and we ask for their feedback. We actually are still in the period of public comment. So we are looking for feedback from industry to ensure that regulations we put in place, match with the realities of how they operate their networks and secure their systems in order to, again, keep a secure and safe maritime industry.
There's a lot of moving parts here. You've mentioned a few of them, industry and municipal port authorities, things like that. How do you herd all those cats?
Okay. So the Coast Guard's actually really used to doing this. We work in an environment, again, in ports and in local communities where we can speak across government. As a member of the armed forces, we speak across our fellow armed services. We're in communities that have federal, state, local, tribal governments, so we are absolutely used to dealing with all those different players. And then, of course, industry. We're a regulatory agency as well as a military service and a law enforcement agency, so we are in the habit of cooperating with the maritime industry, us in the regulator role, and then the regulated. But again, that is a collaborative effort. And when it comes to cyber, clearly we can't do our best work without the cooperation of those companies who are not only reporting incidents to us, they may be receiving from us intelligence or reports of threats. And then they're receiving products from us about what we've learned when we've been out working in the port environment. So it's kind of a two-way street. And when we're on site operating, clearly we're sitting next to them, we're in their networks with them, and helping them to either harden networks, or in the case of someone who's already suffered from an attack, you know, eradicating bad actors, hardening the network so that they can move on with the business that they do in the port.
Yeah, response and resiliency, I imagine, are the key things here.
Absolutely.
AI, I got to ask about AI because sure. It is 2024. How is that affecting this? How are you going to... It makes things easier for sure for bad actors.
Sure, absolutely makes things easier for the bad actor, but I think increasingly it's making things easier for us because the tools we use to monitor and respond to bad activity, are powered or can be powered, by AI. And then the other thing I would offer is one of the things we do is Coast Guard's unique in that we're operating out in this commercial space, for at least for a military service, right? I mean, the other military services are operating on military networks, they're operating on maybe partner country networks, but we're in a unique spot by being out in commercial industry in the U.S. And so after we condition the data we gather from a network, and by that I mean, we protect the identity of the company and the people who use the network, and we get down to the network data that can show us, is there malicious activity happening? We take that information and we can share it through the intelligence community in a way that can then be used to harden networks across government, across other industries, and maybe to help us identify and go after and to counter the bad actors that we find.
Sure. I imagine it's always evolving. All these things are changing.
Yeah, the analytics to figure all that out are AI-powered, right? And so that's where it comes in.
And you're only as good as the data that goes in, and certainly there's a lot of data to
Absolutely.
Be had there.
Absolutely.
Well, Dan, thanks so much for being on.
You bet. Thanks, Ross.
Thank you.